Chapter 15. It was late when Foggy woke up on the camp bed, not having been able to trust himself to resist the temptation of a drunk Matt Murdock the night before. He'd done well in that regard. Matt was asleep in his bed, buried in enough blankets, pillows, and plush toys that Foggy could only see the top of his head. Temptation successfully avoided. Matt was still asleep, and Foggy kind of liked him that way. Peaceful and content, his soft breaths the only sound in the room, apart from the sound of Foggy's heartbeat, which was a little too loud in his own ears. He could hardly breathe around Matt after last night. Things were different than he'd ever thought they'd be. He'd thought for a while now that Matt needed some level of protection and a high level of consideration. But it was a different kind of protection to the kind Foggy had envisioned. He'd imagined himself protecting Matt from dicks like Jerry and Stick, or dreamt of heroic and exaggerated situations like braving a burning building and rescuing Matt from the flames. That wasn't the kind of protection Matt needed. Matt's heart needed protection more than anything else. It was fragile in a sense. Matt had expressed last night how abandoned he felt by his parents, and it broke Foggy's heart to think of Matt begging to share his family just for a single night, just for Christmas, and spending the rest of the year with no one. No birthdays, Thanksgivings, or Father's Days. That had to be a really crappy holiday for Matt, and Foggy was already thinking about a way to make it easier on him. Matt needed that. He needed a family who cared about him. He had a roommate that did, a roommate who cared maybe a little too much. He needed to do something to curb his more intense feelings and impulses, he decided. Otherwise, he was going to do something stupid. Something stupid like smoothing Matt's hair back and kissing him good morning. Don't, he told himself, tugging the blankets up under his chin to help him resist the temptation. Almost as if he'd heard that stern and silent reprimand, Matt stirred. Foggy watched his eyelids flutter and a sleepy smile steal across Matt's face. God, what he wouldn't give to wake up to that every day. Soft, sleepy, smiley Matt. Hey, Foggy muttered, keeping his voice low, fully expecting Matt to be hungover and noise sensitive. Foggy? What time is it? Matt asked with a slight frown, moving to sit up. Breakfast is ready. Time to gab bed. Get up, get up, get up, Theo called, banging on the door. Matt practically dove off the bed and away from the source of the noise, landing on top of Foggy and driving the air from his lungs in more ways than one. He gave a muffled grunt of surprise as Matt all but buried his head in the thick yellow comforter and groaned. Matt, are you okay? Foggy asked when he had recovered slightly. Loud. Everything's loud, Matt mumbled into Foggy's chest. Yeah, Theo is a bit. Hang tight, I'll go punch him, Foggy offered, attempting to scoot off the camp bed without success. Matt was surprisingly heavy, especially when he was sprawled across Foggy, with his full weight resting on top of him. Up until this point, he'd thought of Matt as more wiry than particularly well-built. He was pleasantly surprised to find that wasn't the case. Matt's soft hoodies concealed some pretty well-defined muscles, which was just an extra reason for Foggy to bring the impromptu cuddling session to an expedient end before things got awkward and his totally not platonic feelings decided to announce themselves in less than subtle ways. He was uncomfortably aware of the effect Matt was having on him just with his physical proximity, and he shifted away from him self-consciously. Wait, just stay here for a minute, Matt pleaded, resting his head against Foggy's chest and humming softly. It's nice. My pajamas? Foggy asked in a tone of bewilderment. No, your heart. I mean, yeah, your pajamas. They're soft, you know. Sorry, I'm still a little drunk, Matt mumbled, grimacing and sitting up. I'm sorry about last night, too. Just holiday blues, you know? Foggy didn't trust himself to speak. If Matt wanted to call being honest about his feelings around his family holiday blues, he wasn't going to argue with him. Just in case Matt decided it was too dangerous to let himself be that vulnerable, or that drunk, around him ever again. Don't worry about last night. It's forgotten. Breakfast? Foggy suggested, as Matt climbed off the camp bed and stood up, stretching and stifling a yawn behind his hand. I'm not really hungry, Matt admitted, moving to sit on the bed, his expression doubtful. A bit of bacon grease will clear that hangover right up. Trust me, Foggy said, smiling as he sat up, letting the blankets pull around his waist. I do trust you. Foggy, do you want to skip breakfast and come for a walk with me instead? There's something I want to talk to you about, Matt said, his lips tightening in the kind of way that told Foggy he was feeling a little unsure of himself. He paused for a moment and considered him. The day had barely started, and Matt had already apologized twice. He wished he wouldn't. He didn't want Matt's apologies. He wanted his trust. He wanted more than that, but he'd settle for trust. There was only one way he could answer Matt's proposition, and he gave that answer without hesitation. Let me just change and grab my shoes and we'll go, okay? Foggy said, doing a reasonable job of keeping his tone casual. Okay, Matt agreed, already sliding off the bed and selecting some fresh clothes from his suitcase. Foggy watched him running his fingers over the braille labels in his clothes for a few moments. He cemented his place in Foggy's heart forever with his bed hair and soft expression. It wasn't a fleeting crush. He knew that, down to his bones. He and Matt had been walking for almost an hour, and Matt still hadn't said a word. Foggy was trying to be patient with him, but it was hard. He was getting hungry now, and he hadn't gone this long without coffee for a while. Even Matt hadn't had coffee. He was taking his punishment and his hangover like a good Catholic, refusing to complain about it. Foggy shook his head as he followed Matt down the next street and past Absolute Bagels. His stomach grumbled at the thought of his missed breakfast, even though the shop was closed for the holidays. He knew there was a McDonald's further up the street and a coffee shop, and he sighed, thinking longingly of caffeine and pastries, and wishing Matt was a little more forthcoming with whatever it was he wanted to talk about. His roommate didn't speak, however. He just tapped the cane a little more loudly than usual, warning the other people on the sidewalk to give him a little extra space. Foggy had noticed he did that sometimes at law school, too. Not that people always paid attention, or were courteous enough to give him a clear path. He sighed as he and Matt waited for the crosswalk indicator, along with 8 or 9 other people burning off the calories from their Christmas dinner. Not that Foggy cared about that sort of thing. The crosswalk flashed green, and Foggy stepped forward automatically, beginning to cross the street with the others. He paused halfway across, not hearing the tapping of Matt's cane. He turned back just in time to see a woman grab Matt's arm and try to pull him across the street. Why did people feel the need to do that? Empathy and irritation stirred within him, and he started back across the street towards Matt, just in case he needed to tell the stranger touching his roommate to back the hell off. The crossing's here. Let me help you, she insisted. But Matt stood his ground, looking more uncomfortable with every second that passed. I know where it is, thanks, Matt mumbled, still not moving. Foggy paused to take in the full horror of the situation, only now understanding just how unsettling it must be for Matt for random people to approach him and grab him. His roommate seemed to be struggling to detach himself from the woman without being rude. He was being polite instead of telling her to get lost, and Foggy froze, not totally sure what to do, whether to march the remaining 8 or 10 feet and solve it himself, or whether to let Matt retain his independence and push back on his own. Here, I'll help you get across the road, the woman persisted, Seeming unable to take a hint from Matt, Foggy took a step towards them and Matt's head snapped up. "Foggy, stop! Don't move!" he exclaimed, so urgently that Foggy halted, thrown by the desperation in Matt's tone. Less than 3 seconds later, a car came careening through the intersection, running the red light and missing Foggy by a hair's breadth. If he'd taken that step towards Matt and missed "I can't take a hint," he would have been dead. Shock and relief crashed over him in waves, and for a moment he couldn't breathe. "Holy shit," Foggy muttered under his breath, his heart racing. "Miss, would you just let go of me?" Matt snapped, twisting free of the stranger's grip. "I'm just trying to help," she declared, completely ignorant of the near hit and run that had occurred mere feet away from her. Foggy drew a ragged breath and looked both ways, crossing the street with an excessive caution this time. He approached Matt and the stranger, who was still incredibly trying to take his arm, forcing help on him, despite Matt's repeated insistence that he didn't need or want it. "Some people," Foggy thought, shaking his head. "He doesn't like having help forced on him or being harassed. You heard him. Thanks, but no thanks, okay?" Foggy said in a loud, carrying voice that seemed to offend the woman. "Fine. Suit yourself," she said huffily, walking away from the two of them. "Thanks, Foggy. Are you okay?" Matt asked, his tone filled with concern. That was an excellent question in Foggy's opinion. Truthfully, he didn't know if he was okay. He was a little shaken by both the near miss and the confronting reality that was becoming an all too frequent occurrence. People, well-meaning or not, harassed Matt and treated him like he was incapable of doing anything on his own. It wasn't okay. He was more upset about that than he was about the car that had almost hit him. "I'm fine. Are you? I didn't even see that car coming. How did you know it was going to hit me?" Foggy asked, frowning as that thought occurred to him. How had Matt known to warn him? I heard it coming," Matt said, shrugging and looking particularly uncomfortable. "You have super hearing or something?" Foggy muttered, shaking his head disbelievingly. "Kind of, yeah," Matt admitted, his tension increasing. "Not just hearing, all of my senses are kind of heightened, except one." Foggy stopped breathing then. He couldn't process what Matt was trying to tell him in its entirety. His roommate was blind, but he could tell when a car was going to run a red light. If it had been anyone else, he would have thought they were having him on, pulling his leg. But Matt looked so serious and so tense that he knew he was telling the truth. What the actual hell? End chapter 15.